Welcome to another edition of Faith and Fitness Magazine. I'm really pleased to be able to share with you a person that is making a huge difference on the East Coast of the United States. I'm really pleased to be able to talk today with Dee Bolton. She has a website, a ministry called Faith Fueled Mom, and she comes from New Jersey, which is where she is, her headquarters is. And Dee, thanks for joining us today.
I am super excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, Dee, I was talking with you previously as we were preparing for this, and when I asked what certifications you have in the fitness business, you started telling me more than I could remember. So go ahead and share a little bit about that right off the top.
Yeah, I have been blessed to have many certifications. Most of them are through NASM, which is the National Academy of Sports Medicine. So I am a NASM certified personal trainer. I am also a corrective exercise specialist, fitness nutrition specialist, senior fitness specialist, weight loss specialist, all through NASM. I have an AFA group fitness certification, as well as I'm pursuing my master trainer in NASM as well. So I do have a laundry list of certs.
How long have you been in the fitness business?
I have been in the fitness business for about 6 years now.
6 years, so pretty short.
Yeah, I am a newbie when it comes to fitness.
And you work at Equinox Fitness or YMCA? What do you do? How do you do it?
I work for myself. During the pandemic, I left my gym where I had interned. I went back to school and got my degree in fitness and exercise science, and I had interned at a gym, which hired me right when I graduated, and I worked for them for 3 years. And then during the pandemic, I branched off on my own, and now I am I pretty much work for myself. I call my ministry Faith Fueled Life, and I have about 11 clients, virtual and in person, and I am blessed to get to just serve them on my own.
Dee, if I found you on the internet, why would I want to do Faith Fueled Life with you? What's it different than in some other personal trainer?
Well, it's not about fitness with me. It's about a lifestyle. I like to consider myself as a wellness educator, so I'm not just focused on pounds on the scale. I'm focused on how you honor your temple. So that's how you not only move your body and nourish your body, but the influences that are in your around you, the people that are around you. And I feel like I just give my clients a more sustainable lifestyle habit versus helping them achieve a diet or a fad.
And before I get into asking you some specific questions about that, just one more sort of general question that I want to ask, and that is, you have your web presence as Faith Fueled Mom. So
yes.
How did that develop? How do you have that identity?
That is a great question. So I started my journey about 7 years ago. I was a mom of three. At the time, I had a 9-year-old, a 6-year-old, and not even a year. And I honestly just wanted to get skinny. That was my goal. And I started with a 30-day fast. And through the fast, I literally clinged on to God every moment. I was eating very little a day. I was moving my body a lot, and I needed prayer and devotion to get me through. So at the end of the 30 days, I don't think I lost a lot of weight, maybe like 6 pounds, nothing monumental, but I really got a really intimate relationship with God because I clinged to him on the bad parts, celebrated with him on the good parts, and it was just really me being vulnerable. And I started on Instagram just sharing how God was fueling my journey, fueling my faith. And faith is the confidence insurance that God will do what he says. And so that's what I pretty much live on an everyday basis. So faith fueled is my lifestyle. It's how I interact with others. It's how I live my life. It's not just fitness for me. So Faith Fueled Mom was born out of that. And I've been sharing my journey for the last 7 years on Instagram and Facebook and just have a really community of women who are just really wanting to reclaim their temple and honor their temple and not just lose weight in 90 or 21 days or whatever, you know, the quick fix is.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Dee, I'm curious, as you describe how you got started, it sounds like you were not eating much and you were exercising a lot. And I'm curious, mm-hmm. was that done as almost a fasting, a spiritual experience, or was that when you initially were doing it and so maybe it was a little actually off? I ask this because I think a lot of times everybody, but perhaps women in particular, just really try to do this brutal diet, this mm-hmm. this really hard work. You know, it's sort of like going from 0 to 100, and it's not terribly sustainable. In fact, it's probably not sustainable.
Exactly. So it started off as it's very well known multi-level marketing company that's out there right now, and they offer these 30 days nutritional fast or cleanses. And so I started off with that. The prayer and devotion just came from the time in my life that I was really discovering God, or being recommitted to Christ. I've always been a Christian my whole life, but I don't think he's been a foundation of my decisions up until that point. So it really started off just I wanted to get skinny in 30 days. I bought the package at the beginning of the month, and I did everything that they said to do. And like you said, overworked myself, undernourished myself. And at the end of the 30 days, my conviction changed from I want to get skinny to I want to honor my temple. And so that took me on a 2-year journey to lose 105 pounds. The pounds that I lost has nothing to do with where I'm at now, but I definitely think that if I didn't experience that really like restrictive, really high intense 30 days, that I wouldn't have that conviction of, you know what, this dieting thing's not really going to sustain me. I need to do this every single day. So how I live today is, does this honor my temple? And again, what I put in my mouth, how I move, who I'm around, what I watch, all are encompassing. How much rest I get, my stress level, is it honoring my temple as a whole, is how I kind of live my life now. And that's what I teach other women how to do. And so my clients, they're not really looking for a quick fix. They're looking for lifetime habits that they can use and help their family as well.
So that initial 30-day diet that you can buy, at some point transitioned into, hey, this is a lifestyle that I should be doing, and it should be something that honors God. I'm curious, was that something that purely was a God revelation, or were there people or an individual that helped influence you to gain that greater understanding?
Definitely with God, and definitely with people. And that God had placed in my life. It specifically was Romans 12:1. I had a supernatural experience in my own personal study. And at the time I was in a women's study, and the verse came about in just the, this is your true and proper worship in Romans 12:1 just stood out to me. It's like the words came out of the pages of the Bible. And it was just one of those things like, ah, that's it. And it was just like a light bulb. And so, like I said, my vain pursuit started off, I want to get skinny, and then it ended with, I just want to live a life that honors my temple so that I can truly and properly worship God. And I feel like if you have a strong temple, if your health is well, you're able to share the gospel for his glory. And so that is where all of this started. Faith Healed Mom, Faith Healed Life, my Bible and boot camp program. It's just really from Romans 12:1. This kind of convicted me that I needed to change my habits and make them for a lifestyle.
Our theme for this issue of Faith and Fitness Magazine is input, get it, and give it. And I'd like for you to really share. Let's first start out at that time where you transitioned from doing a diet to having a lifestyle. Can you tell me, because I think a lot of times, particularly in the area of diet, all of us, men, women, we all take that pretty personally. We don't want somebody to say, you know what you need to do is, how did it come about, you know, the input that people gave you? Did you find any of that to be difficult? Was it a challenge? Were you resistant to it any? Or was it like, come on, bring it on, or what?
So you're right. There's so, especially the world we live in with the internet, and you can Google or Pinterest or YouTube or whatever the case may be. There's so many ways to access health information. Half the time it contradicts each other. Half the time you just want to look like the person that you clicked on, and we're all made different. That's never going to be the case. But I did have a woman, actually a group of women in my life at the time who were moving their bodies. They were moms. They were believers. And it kind of made it acceptable. I feel like in the Christian faith, if you are working on your health goals, people say you're idolizing your body. And it just kind of gave me a comfort space and accountability space to want to take care of my body, but not as if I'm idolizing it. And I have encountered people who are like, oh, you're super fit. You must, you know, put your workouts before anything else. And that wasn't the case with these group of women. They were accepting and they were loving, and they wanted to share and celebrate all the victories and grow. And so that community definitely was very nice to have when I started my journey. And people would be like, oh, you don't have to worry about that. You're a mom. And these women are like, no, you should take care of your health. You can be a mom. You can do these things without idolizing your body. So that was the input that I got and kind of made it okay for me to have these feelings of I really need to take care of my body. And it's for the better of my kids. My girls were little at the time. I wanted to play with them on the playground. I wanted to have more energy. I wanted to not be snappy, you know. And I also wanted to be an example for them of a godly woman and that you should take care of your body and that it doesn't have to be something that's put on a pedestal, but just something that's part of your everyday lifestyle.
Dee, I'm curious. I hear you say that you were in a caring and supportive community, and yet you also told me you lost over 100 pounds, if I heard that correctly. At some point along the way, there had to be a little tough admonishment, a little bitter pill to take to continue to persist, to make some changes to achieve that. And I'd like for you to talk about that a bit, because I think a lot of times, you know, okay, I'll take the input as long as it's loving and caring and supportive, but if it's going to really force me to do make some tough changes and to work hard at it, I don't know if I'm up for that.
We love to be comfortable and convenient, don't we? I completely agree. Yeah, there's been moments, and I actually, so I was in that community, I would say probably a little less than a year, maybe 9 to 10 months, and then I outgrew the community just for my goals. It was an online community. I needed some real people in real spaces, so I did hire a personal trainer at the time, and I also went back to school to get my fitness and exercise science degree. So I was a mom with the three. I was training with a personal trainer, and I was also being educated on all aspects of fitness and exercise science. So that definitely was a catalyst for me to lose 105 pounds. When I started my program, it was an accelerated program to get my degree, in about 18 months I lost the remaining 60 pounds of the 105 pounds. So I think all of those were inputs into me at the time that God used to just kind of keep me disciplined. There's a difference between being motivated, and I was just trying to explain this to my daughter, my oldest daughter, yesterday. You're not motivated every single day to eat the right things or move your body. It's discipline that you learn, self-discipline that you learn, that helps you get through and a goal like 105 pounds, which was never my goal initially, but is one of those things. I got to that point and I turned around and was like, oh, wow, I've lost 105 pounds. So I think also when your mindset is focused on different things and honoring your temple as one of them, one of the results is that your body sheds weight, you know, and you look your best and you feel your best and you just keep doing these things because it feels good. And that's what we love. We love things that feels good, things that are comfortable. We love convenience. And so when you make these things a habit or a lifestyle, then I think that's the switch that allows you to get to a big goal, like 105 pounds, which could be very daunting at first if that's what the goal is. I'm going to do 105 pounds in X amount of days. But when you're like, no, I'm just going to take care of my body. Next week, I'm going to do more reps than I did last week. This week, I'm not going to eat as much sugar. Next week, I'm going to eat less. Or I'm not going to drink soda anymore. I'm going to drink more water. It's just those little habits that you continually form that gets you to where you want to go.
Dee, I hear you talking a lot about self-discipline there, the deciding not to eat this or drink that. That's a popular concept in fitness, in getting healthy. Describe for our listeners how faith plays a role in that, because I think that's a real significant conversation that we need to have. Everybody can do self-discipline, but to engage faith, that takes a little different mindset. Talk about that.
Well, yeah. I mean, the same self-discipline I had to, you know, work out every day, it's the same self-discipline I have to get up every morning and get up earlier. Now I get up at 4:45 every morning so that I can have time in the Word with God. That's a self-discipline. I could easily sleep in, press the snooze button, and then get up right before I need to go to work. But it's one of those things that it feels better when I'm with God. And so that guides me and directs me. And then prayer, I feel people underestimate the power of prayer. But it is powerful when you're standing in front of the fridge and you're like, Lord, help me eat the things that nourish my body, or help me make decisions that honor my temple. God will meet you where you are. So those are two things that I share with my, I call them my Bible and boot camp beauties, is to really ask God for the small things. I think typically we do, I like to call them Jesus, fix it Jesus prayers. Like, you know, we've done all we can on our own and it's not working out. So you're like, okay, Lord, now you can fix it. But what about, like, did I ask God? And so if you live your life of asking God for things, and he will meet you where you are. Like, I think just being on this conversation right now with you, one of my prayers every day is for God to use me to help women reclaim their temple. And so if someone listening to this show today is like, you know what, I think I want to honor my temple for a lifestyle. I don't want to just be on this diet that I'm on. Then he's answered my prayer right there. So prayer and devotion is something that I'm self-disciplined in. And it takes practice. When I first started, I wasn't praying to God, not every moment, but very often. It was one of those nighttime prayers or before I eat prayers, you know. But now it's like an ongoing conversation that I have every single day. So that takes self-discipline in itself.
I got to ask you, you know, you shared that this all started out with, I just want to be skinny. And here just a second ago, you said, I have gotten to the point where it's, God, I want to be used to make a difference in the lives of others. Talk about that. How did, what changes in you to go from it's all about me to it's all about others?
Definitely God, for sure. And I actually remember I blogged about it. Faith Healed Mom started off as a blog. My surrender prayer, it was one of those things. I had, so this weight loss journey's had ups and downs, lots of battles, but it was one of those weeks where I did everything my trainer said. I ate all the food that he said, and I hopped on the scale, and it didn't move. And I'm sure somebody can relate to that moment. And it was one of those things like, Lord, take this scale number out of my heart and just use me, Lord, to help others. And that's when it started. I just remember being on the bathroom floor crying, like, I surrender, God. I surrender all of my vain pursuits to serve you and glorify you. And then that's when things changed for me, honestly. I the power of prayer, I feel like, is so underestimated, but it's really, really powerful. And when God knows the intentions of your heart, he will lead you and guide you. But you have to be obedient, and you have to be open, and you have to be vulnerable. And so that, I think, was when my life changed. Because once you stop, like you said, working for yourself and you start to serve him, he will give you the tools and everything you need to be served. So all of those certs that I spelled out when we first started this call, I've only paid for one of those certs.
Wow.
Every other certification has been gifted to me. They've asked me to test things. I've only paid for one of those certifications. That's God. The fact that my fitness and exercise science degree, at the time, we couldn't financially afford it. I had financial aid that got me through that. I feel like every tool, every resource, every opportunity has been just presented by God for me. And it is me out of obedience and devotion and discernment to follow the right path. And I really don't feel like I would be where I am in the 6 years that I am. If it wasn't for me saying, use me, Lord, whatever tool I need, whatever I need. Healthy food can be expensive. I mean, there's just so many things on this journey I can think of where God met me where I was just so that I could help serve him and glorify him. And then give him glory, like let people know this wasn't my own strength, this was God. And I think he uses, the unlikely. And I'm definitely one of those people who are unlikely to be where I am today.
Well, in doing the magazine, I've talked to a lot of women, and one of the things that I often hear, and I'm going to relate it to you, is at some point, and probably at many points, Satan, the liar, the defeater, says, I don't care how many certifications you've got, you're not worthy to be going out and giving input to other people. You have, I know where you were. You were a failure. You were, all this negative stuff. And I'm curious, share a little bit, if you would, an encouraging word to how you go about denying that lie and saying, no, this is something that I can do. I can give input to other people.
Yeah. So yes, I'm a former serial quitter. I quit on everything but my marriage before this. I mean, anything that I started, I never finished. I quit when it got hard, when it got uncomfortable, I just stopped. And something that I often have to say when those lies creep into my head is, quiet my soul and lead me by your spirit. I literally have to meditate on it. And it's something also in my Bibles and Bootcamp program we have affirmations that we meditate on. And that's one thing that I constantly say to myself is, quiet my soul and lead me by your spirit. Because we are all soul-led. We're all sinful nature. Our sinful nature always takes over our second nature. And our second nature is to love and abide by God. But then sin comes in, and that's when lies are told and those things. So that's why I say to quiet my soul. I feel like that's your sinful nature, your soul, what you want for you, and to lead me by your spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes in, that's a whole nother level. And so just being open to that and asking for that, and that's when he'll meet you where you are. So that's something that I have to verbally sometimes say. Sometimes I have to write it down, or sometimes I just literally just have to continually say that in my head until the lies quiet down. My soul quiets down, and then God leads me by my spirit, by his spirit.
Your social presence is Faith-Fueled Mom. I'm going to guess by that title that you identify for yourself that your three daughters are one of the most important peoples in your life to whom you give input. Talk a little bit about, if you would, please, how you go about giving input to your daughters, and in particularly, I think, because there's women, they care so much about their daughters, and for whatever reason, it's not happening. They feel like, I just can't really connect with my daughter the way I want to, the way that God wants.
Yeah. So each one of my daughters I have a different relationship with. As far as fitness and eating right, and we're not a scale family. I don't believe in the scale. I don't believe that is any representation of your worth, a number on the scale. I tell women, you are not you don't have that number tattooed on your forehead. So you hold your head high because you feel good in your clothes and you look good in your clothes. So that's a conversation that we don't have in our home, is about you should eat this, you should eat that. And then we lead by example. That's what my husband and I try to do. So they see that I drink water. They see that I eat fresh vegetables. They see that I eat good food. They see that I pray before workouts. They see that they come early in the morning and see that I'm doing Bible study. So that's just right there. There was, I think it was Tim Keller. I can't remember the person exactly, but he said that when you're raising Christian children, you can tell them to memorize Bible verses and you can tell them to do their devotions, but what they see is what they imitate. And that's, children are great imitators. That's what they're going to see. And then we all are wonderfully and uniquely made. So just each one of my daughters, like I said, I have a different relationship with, because there's different people on this earth. And so I try to support them and encourage them. My middle daughter is an artist. She's also an athlete. She's one of those people who everybody's jealous of because they're good at everything they do, and that's just who she is. And so I just try to really recognize her and honor her for who she is. But then my little one, she loves to move, and she's little, and she's full of energy. So we try to encourage the things that she loves. And then my oldest one, we call her my prim and proper because she likes everything just so. So I feel like recognizing them for their differences and then leading by example is really how I do. Some days, I'm going to be honest, I have a 16-year-old daughter. We don't get along every single day. But we do have an open conversation in our house, and we definitely grow together. So that's,
I guess. And let me tap into that for a minute, because I know it's so true in all households, quite honestly, whether we want to admit it or not. There's the moments where we yell, or where we're judgmental, or where we don't listen. Talk a moment about the beauty of being able to say you're sorry, of those times where you cry together, where you recognize that, wow, as hard as I tried, I failed. Because I think as we learn to appreciate that as compared to avoid it, that's where God can really move in all of our lives. Talk about that, if you would, please.
So, I said that where I was having a conversation with my daughter about motivation, self-discipline. And that was a really vulnerable moment. I try to, I am the authority. I am the mom, of course. I don't try to relate to my children, but I do try to have conversations with them. And I have often had to apologize for my behavior, whether I was tired and I snapped at them or whatever the case may be. And I really think that is why we have the relationship we do, because they see me as a human person and not like this super tough mom who does all the things and super mom and never does anything wrong. I always tell my girls, you know, we're all sinners saved by grace. We really are just grateful for God and what Jesus did on the cross for us. And so letting them know that it's okay to be human. It's okay to mess up, even if you're a mom, even if you're faith-fueled mom, you know, whatever the case may be. I think it makes them okay, because I have a 16 and 12-year-old, and right now we are navigating the I want to be a grown-up, but I'm not a grown-up life. I think seeing that it's okay to fail is something that I didn't see growing up. I felt like you always had to be perfect. Allows them grace to grow up.
So what I'm hearing is the giving input isn't just about giving wisdom and giving instruction and giving admonition. It's also about giving grace and giving understanding and just giving of yourself in ways that we don't typically think.
Being authentic. I think people appreciate authenticity more than anything. And putting on a facade like you have all your ducks in a row it's intimidating. So I agree. Yeah, giving.
So you've got here in this year some new programs that you're going to be doing, or what?
I don't have any new ones, but I have one that I've been doing for a while. I have a program called Bible and Boot Camp. It's a 7-week transformation program, and it's literally my prayer journal for that 30-day fast that I started my journey with. And God led me to write it down. I wrote down every day, every issue that I had, every prayer that I had, the meditations that I had, the scriptures that I read. And so I like to call it like a, it's like a 6-week Bible study. The first week's a prep week, getting you prepared for the 7 weeks. So it's a 6-week Bible study that adds movement and nourishing your body. So I basically take women, it's like basic training for honoring their temple. And it's just the basic skills, healthy eating guidelines, how to live life not on a diet, how to move, how to start strength training, because I really think it's valuable for women to strength train. So it gives them all the foundational skills to strength train. And I lead them and guide them through in the 7-week program so that they transform. I don't call it a weight loss program. It's not a 6-week quick fix. It's one of those cyclical programs that you can do over and over again and get something different every single time. And so Bibles and Bootcamp is my signature program that I have been serving women for the last 3 years.
And women that want to do that need to be in New Jersey to participate in it?
No, it's through an app that they can download on their Apple phone or their Android phone. And I only offer it twice a year right now because I coach you through. You have complete access to me through the app. The program's kind of automated. So you start the program, you download the app, it gets you started, but then you have a question or you have a prayer request or you have whatever it is, and I'm there for you. You send that message and you can ask women within hours. I'm answering their questions. So I only open it up twice a year right now so that I can serve the women that God has blessed to lead to my program. I would like to eventually have it ongoing, but if for those women, I have the Faith Fueled Life app, which is on the same app, but it's like a monthly program, and they get daily devotions as well as exercises for them to be on their weight loss journey or their honoring their temple journey.
Wonderful. Well, that definitely is input, both getting and giving, so I would encourage women to check that out. Faith-Fueled Mom is Dee Bolton. I've been speaking with her today from her home office in New Jersey, and it's just really exciting to see that there are people all around that are living out their faith through their passion with fitness. So Dee, thank you for sharing today with our listeners and our readers.
No, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity. And just like I said, my daily prayer, use me, Lord, so I can help women reclaim their temple. So if there's one woman that I encourage today to put down the diet, put down the fat, and just start making decisions that's going to last a lifetime, my prayers have been answered. So I appreciate the time.
Thank you, Dee. This has been Brad Bloom with Faith and Fitness Magazine. Keep listening, looking for more audio recordings. We'll be talking with all kinds of fitness professionals this year and just people all across the country that have experienced bringing faith and fitness together. Faith and Fitness Magazine is your tool for passionate, powerful, and healthy living.